Dear friends, happy to be with you again as we study the last part of this text of the book of Revelation, which will reveal unto us the new Jerusalem, our home, when we will be with our Lord. And when I say our home, I have an ulterior motive, because it is not just our home. The New Jerusalem is described as the bride. So behind the description of this place, there is the description of a people. And I'd like to show you that this description is about a people more than a place. Let's go into the text now. I invite you to read chapter 21, verses 9 to 21. Then, one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was of jasper, the second of sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Here is the description of the New Jerusalem. I would like to ponder for a moment on the beginning, because it is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls who comes to present the New Jerusalem to John. And we realize that it happened the same for the presentation of Babylon the prostitute. Let me suggest we read chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." In other words, what is proposed to us here is to understand that after the bowls, there are only two solutions. Either we will be part of Babylon and the reprobate, or we will be part of the New Jerusalem and the elected. In the description of these two cities, everything opposes them. There are two women, they are two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon the prostitute, Jerusalem the faithful woman, the bride. In both cases, it is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls that presents the city. Babylon was dressed in a purple and scarlet. It is simply said of the New Jerusalem that she had the glory of God. Babylon was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. It is said of the New Jerusalem that her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She is not adorned with precious stones, she is a gem. Babylon is in a desert or on many waters. She is at sea level. Jerusalem is on a high mountain. In short, everything opposes them. Then, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Well, let's move forward in this description. And let's try to understand that it is really a people that is described. Let's read Revelation chapter 21, verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Verse 11, "having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Well, a jasper stone is actually a type of chalcedony, veined with different colors, and the various colors are due to impurities. In fact, if there were no impurities, it would have been transparent. I do not know what was the ancient knowledge of in this area, but probably they had fairly precise notions. In any case, one that inspired John knew all about it. Now, we can go a little further and look at what verse 12 has to say. "Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." A high wall may mean that the elected in there are unassailable. On the other hand, we have the 12 messengers. Those 12 angels seriously remind us of the cherubim guarding the entrance of the Garden of Eden. And we'll see a little further that what's inside Jerusalem is truly a Garden of Eden. It is therefore to win back, to re-enter the Garden of Eden and go the opposite way from that of Adam. There is in this reconquest a victory, but it is not a human victory. It is Christ's victory that enabled man to this comeback. In verse 13, we have the description of three doors north, south, east, and west each. It looks like the setting of the camp of the Israelites in the wilderness. It does not tell us who are the tribes written on each of these doors, but just to remind you that in the north, there were the tribes of Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. In the east, Issachar, Judah, and Zebulun, In the west, Benjamin, Ephraim and Manasseh. In the south, Gad, Reuben and Simeon. Simply, we know that Ephraim is gone and is probably replaced by Joseph. Dan is gone and is probably replaced by Levi. Anyway, what interests us is that we have here the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse 14, we have the city wall, which is described unto us as having 12 foundations, and on them 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. And here we are faced with a problem. Are the doors on which the names of the 12 tribes written, are these doors settled before the foundation bearing the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb? Usually, when a city is built, the foundation is laid first, and then the doors are set last. Well, there is a solution to this difficulty. In fact, we have here the construction of the church. Concerning the foundations, the ultimate foundation is Christ. But the secondary foundation, I dare say, these are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And how to get the last evolution, the last settled element, that is, the gates with the names of the 12 tribes? Well, simply because these 12 tribes represent the 144,000 described in chapter 7. And the 144,000 is the last generation. Thus, we have the history of the church with the foundation, the apostle of the Lamb, and up to the last generation, the 144,000. So there is a collective growth of the church. There is a collective project for the church. Of course, there is the individual project, but there is a collective project too. I invite you to read the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Yes, God had a plan. He has this project since before the foundation of the world, and He will carry it out for the best. So, we have in very simple terms of foundations and doors, an evolution of what the church is. Besides, it's not for nothing that the symbol of doors is used. For we shall see later that the nations will go through these doors. As if all the elected should finally go through the experience of the 144,000. And it would not perhaps be surprising that the city initially just represents the 144,000. I invite you to look at a text on which we did not stop so far, Revelation 20, verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. When the wicked are raised to the end of the 1,000 years, then they attack the camp of God and the beloved city. As if there were two groups, the city itself, and then those that will enter the town afterwards, the camp of the saints. We will discuss these things later. So let me propose that we move forward now in this text. We come to the measurement. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. On two other occasions in the Word of God, we saw someone measuring. First, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40 onwards, we have described a temple that was never built, a temple that is certainly rich in terms of instruction. And we read in chapter 40, verse 3, the following. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. In the book of Revelation, John was also asked to measure. And we find this in Revelation chapter 11 at the beginning of the chapter. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. It was about to tread the holy city underfoot. Would the holy Jerusalem already exist? Is she not already designating those people of God at this time, that is, the 144,000? You see, there is a measurement going on, both in chapter 11 and chapter 21, that measures the holy city, that measures the people, the temple, the altar, and those who worship therein. Let's move forward in our text, back in chapter 21. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Sometimes translated as harmonious, because 12,000 furlongs is more than 2,000 kilometers, and obviously 2,000 kilometers long, wide, and high seems highly unlikely. But it is a cube, and it is certainly full of instruction. I would like to bring you into the book of the First Kings, chapter 6, verse 20. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. The sanctuary, in other words, the most holy place, those are the only two things in the Word of God that are cubical. The most holy place and the holy city. In other words, this text is telling us that the holy city is none other than the most holy place. We understand at this point that God will dwell in. He dwelt in the most holy place. He was represented by the Shekinah. And now, men will join him in the holy city. It is the place of encounter par excellence. Therefore, there is here a whole education. So, length. Yes, the wall had a certain height, 144 cubits high, which would make 72 meters. But I think those numbers have something else to tell us. Have you noticed that they are all in terms of 12 or 12 by 12? or multiples of 12, just as the 144,000. There is a form of perfection which cannot be ignored. Let's go to verse 18. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. Well, jasper has something to say to us, because it has the appearance of jasper, but if we go in Revelation 4 verse 3, it is God himself who has the appearance of jasper. Let's read it together. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow round the throne, in appearance like an emerald. This city, this church, indeed has the aspect of God. It is decorated with precious stones. And I would like to tell you what Peter says. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 21 tells us, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. What emerges from all these texts is transparency before God alone. In fact, we do not have to tell everyone what our inner turpitudes are. But before God, we can be transparent. It's never too early to start, because after having seen some things, then we realize that there are other things, and it is a lifelong process of truth. He who helps us in this is God himself, and he is transparent.